assemble a team that will make you proud. I can promise you this. We're going to have players that will compete. That will compete every day. That will compete to be the best that they can be. They will be great teammates.
Here's your game. Here's Russell Wilson back. Wilson throws. Caught. Hollister's hit on the goal line.
Feels great, baby.
That's a bad mofo.
I'm so happy he's on my team.
Feels great, baby.
Mofo!
Welcome to Fourth and Goal Podcast. We are back. What a first 2 days of the NFL draft. The 49ers hid their decision until the last minute, and they selected Trey Lance at 3. Last couple of weeks, we've been talking about Justin Fields primarily as the guy. Boy, was I wrong. But the idea that Kyle Shanahan was locked in on a similar type of quarterback, that notion should have died a long time ago. And I think he brought that to light big time. Joining me today, Fernando is in Omaha, Nebraska, but joining me today, one of my 49er goldmine guys, Jordan Elliott. What is going on, buddy?
Hey, in this draft season, the Niners have the quarterback of the future. I am doing fantastic. Thank you for having me on. The mood has been electric the last 24 hours or so. I am very excited for the Trey Lance era.
Yeah, this is Trey area is alive and well. The 49ers did take Trey Lance at 3 overall. The buildup to the draft, I guess, got a lot of people scared, me included, you know, for all the rumors that I had heard that Justin Fields was in play, and I think that was correct, and Trey Lance was in play. I never really bought into the Mac Jones thing, and I think Kyle really put that to bed last night in his press conference. He's like, yeah, if you guys want to have an echo chamber and think those things, by all means, I have no reason to debunk them for you, which kind of helped them out. And it's kind of what we talked about, you and I and the rest of us privately. Like, Kyle's been telling us for 2 years what he wanted in a quarterback. He keeps bringing up the athletic type of quarterback, how high school, Pop Warner, the best athlete is playing the quarterback position. And Kyle got himself a really good athlete to play the quarterback position. Jordan, talk to me about Trey Lance, man. What do you think? What do you see? Is he the guy that probably leads this team for 10 years?
I think yes. And I will just put this out there. Based purely on the tape, you see there's so many things to get excited about. So I'll talk about that real quick because that's something that we all have access to. Has a very live arm, big solid frame, around 6'4", hovers between 225, 230. Just an efficient thrower on the run. Runs a pro-style offense. Has the physical intangibles to give you the upside that we're seeing with these toolsy guys that have burst on the scene lately with Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, et cetera, these guys like that. But he also comes with the cerebral understanding of being able to progress through his reads, understand how to communicate to the rest of the offense, whether he's calling out protections, audible, and doing all these things, the line of scrimmage and the heat of the moment. I see a guy that really Kyle identified and just could not pass up. And I think there's a lot that goes into it. I think the unavailability of a starting quarterback over the last couple seasons and maybe some issue with the play when the starter has been healthy may have factored in. But I think ultimately what ended up happening was Kyle Shanahan just fell in love with a guy that he saw as his kind of his opportunity to throw his hat in the ring in this toolsy quarterback arms race that we've seen in recent years. And the biggest thing that stands out to me is the fact that he carries himself like a franchise quarterback. The way he does, his presence, his charisma, his moxie, all the things you see on tape are really exciting, but I think there's so much more to that position of being a franchise NFL QB. And when I watch Trey Lance, I just see a guy that I believe can lead this team on the field and off and be the face of one of the bigger franchises in the sport for the next 10 years.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I thought that about Justin Fields, and I think Trey Lance would fit that bill as well. You know, going back to the to the film, I think one of the biggest things that I really liked about about Trey Lance, I'm still mourning the Justin Fields thing. The thing I like the most about Trey Lance is his ability to turn his back to a defense, reset the picture, and deliver the ball at all levels of the field, not just the deep ball. He'll hit the intermediate, hit the short routes. His effectiveness in the play action is a big one. I don't think that I missed it on the evals. I think I had a really big bias for Justin Fields. But the amount of plays under center for Trey Lance probably is a big part of why Kyle Shanahan really, really liked him. Again, that ability to run the play action, turn his back to the defense, flip his hips, make a decision rather quickly, get the ball out accurate on time in front of a receiver, and you know, allow for those yards after the catch type plays, which is what we know the 49ers like to utilize and do. I think he can start week one, and I don't know where I would rather him start week one. I don't know where other people are on this topic, but I don't know if there is really a need for competition here. I really think Trey Lance could come in, start week one, and start winning ball games. You know, I've been of the if Kyle Shanahan can get production out of Nick Mullins and CJ Beathard, he's damn sure going to get production out of a multifaceted, multi-talented a quarterback like a Trey Lance. And that is something that is probably going to happen, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I'm with you 100%. I think the biggest thing when you take a guy like Trey Lance is he comes with a rushing floor. And I think that's so important when you're breaking in a young quarterback, particularly these dual threat toolsy guys, is immediately, while Trey Lance may have a little bit of a learning curve, just adjusting from going from that FCS level to the NFL. It's a difficult jump and it does take some time to acclimate. But what he's ultimately going to be able to do if he were to start week one is he has that ability with his legs to keep the defense honest. And Kyle talked about getting these guys in a position where they're playing 11 on 11 and you're going to have a guy account for Trey Lance running at any moment. And then you factor that in with the fact that between Kyle Shanahan, Mike McDaniel, and Bobby Turner, it's the most creative run game in football. These guys are constantly innovating running plays at the NFL level. And then now you're going to throw in a dynamic runner that runs in the 4.5s that is able to run through people as well. I'm very excited for that. And I think if he were to start week one, and I don't think there's any reason to believe he wouldn't be ready with these passing concepts and, you know, adjusting to throwing the ball at the NFL level. But even if you're not comfortable with just throwing him right into the fire, you could kind of ease him in with training wheels, for lack of a better word. And he could run a heavy RPO centric offense with a lot of zone read and a lot of stuff peppered in. But that rushing floor really gives them the ability that while the offensive ceiling might not happen right away, it may take some time to develop and get there. We saw a team like Buffalo with Josh Allen when he wasn't that MVP level player. They still were a playoff team because he was able to utilize his legs. And I don't think the play calling in Buffalo was nearly as creative as it will be in San Francisco, particularly when you talk about the running game.
Yeah, I think that's the other dynamic with this, his ability to move, extend plays, the ability to run things off a script. I think we heard about all leading up to the draft. We heard about his intelligence level. We heard about all that stuff. And I think that's part of another thing that we've talked about, you and I, and, you know, with others and also on the podcast. I think Kyle's wanting an extension of himself on the field. So when that play doesn't work, the quarterback knows where to go, where the safety valves are, or he can improvise and potentially get Kyle out of a bad situation. And, you know, you're not going to have, you know, 20, 30 busted plays in the game, but those 8 to 10 plays that, you know, may not work out the way he wanted to, you have a quarterback who's smart enough to, you know, to make the right decision to escape the pocket, to extend the play, to make things a little bit more difficult. And really, you're playing 11-on-11 football now with a quarterback like a Trey Lance. And it goes back to that run game. You know, now you have to account for Trey Lance as the runner, especially with this play, the way Kyle Shanahan designs this run game. This is an exciting time. My excitement is tempered because I don't want to be like, let's just see the rookie right away. Let's rush him in. Let's do this. Let's do that. I'm more like, okay, I get it. You want to keep Jimmy around. You want to kind of ease the guy in. So I'm not going to be one of those 49er fans that kind of did Alex Smith dirty out the way. We want Carr. You know, I would rather make sure it is, you know, when it's time for him to come in, it's the right time for him to come in, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think that the 49ers are in a really good position now, because I agree with you. I don't think that there is any reason to believe Trey Lance wouldn't be able to start week one. But the way I'm looking at it is there's two things. One, if you're not going to get good value for Jimmy Garoppolo at this point in the trade market, you've already budgeted this season to account for his cap hit, even though it seems big, and especially if you would be in that backup role. You're like, well, $26 million for a backup, that's excessive. But you've already budgeted. And we're at the point in the season where – or the offseason, I should say, where there's not really a free agent that's out there or a player that's available that's really going to be like, man, I really wish we had this money freed up. It's holding us back from getting this player or making this transaction. And we know how creative Parague is. And if they want to get that Warner extension done, I don't think Jimmy's money on the books this year will really make that big of a difference. So having said that, if they get blown away with a trade offer for Jimmy, if somebody's willing to offer a second round pick next year, a third round pick next year, because the 49ers will be without that first round pick. Remember, that is the consequence of moving up for Trey. Mm-hmm. They should definitely look at getting capital next season, but they're in a very strong position now where they're not forced to make that move. And ultimately the other thing I'd look at too is, because again, I think you probably, I imagine you agree with me here. I see a scenario where it's very easy to see Trey Lance and Jimmy being in the same training camp, and Trey's physical ability coupled with that cerebral capacity Kyle has an affinity for and has spoken glowingly of would beat out Jimmy in an open camp. But what it does, in my opinion, is it sends a strong message to the team that no matter how high we draft you or how highly touted I think you are, you're still going to have to come in here and earn it. And I think ultimately that will do the team and Trey Lance the greatest service moving forward, because it's going to really earn the respect of the teammates in that locker room, in my opinion, if they're seeing with their own eyes, hey, we've seen all this stuff on tape. We know Kyle loves him, but man, this dude's out here throwing darts all over the practice field. He can run. They're physically seeing how imposing he is. I think that would go a long way. So I'm not opposed. It's always a good problem to have too many capable quarterbacks on your roster. There's plenty of teams that don't have any. So I think an open competition will ultimately be the best move for everybody going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. It's... You know, and the best thing for this, the best thing that can come out of this is Jimmy plays really, really well, improves his trade stock. I think, but real, you know, a couple last things to touch on Trey Lance. I think, or with Kyle, I think this is the first quarterback he's had that has everything he wants. You know, he has the mobility of RG3. And if we are to believe that Nick Mullins was the smartest quarterback in the 49ers room, then he also has the smartest quarterback in the room now again. With Trey Lance, if you know these scores and everything else is true there, so he's getting all that. And you know, to quote Kyle himself, I'm looking for Drew Brees with the ability to move like Lamar Jackson. And I think folks like you and I who do this, you know, for you know, we're all trying to break into this arena. We noticed that, and I'm kind of annoyed that others didn't, you know, bring it up. They kind of left out the Lamar part and only focused on the Drew Brees part and kind of pigeonholing Kyle. And I think, you know, I talked about it on the last pod, and you know, you've talked about it several times. I think Kyle's defensiveness in that press conference before the draft was like, hey guys, I don't need a Matt Ryan here. I've been looking for my Josh Allen. I've been looking for my Patrick Mahomes. I've been looking for my Deshaun Watson, those type of guys. So it's just, man, I'm just happy that Kyle has his guy. And then, you know, this is with Kyle, if he gets this right, this is a legacy defining quarterback moment for Kyle. And this could be something where we're potentially talking about creating a dynasty. We're talking about the team potentially running the NFC West. We all watched the first three rounds of the NFL draft. No one really did anything in the NFC West that scares me, you know, with their decisions. So the 49ers set themselves up pretty well. Any final thoughts on Trey Lance before we get to the other two guys?
I'll just say real quick, the other thing that really stood out to me about Trey Lance that I really liked, and I don't think it's anything against, I think Justin Fields, you could argue, was there as well, but I definitely didn't see from Mac Jones, was the velocity on his ball. The way Absolutely. That he is throwing these balls, he's throwing lasers out there, and he's throwing darts on a line from the far hash outside the numbers. And as we know in college, the hashes are more spread out than in the NFL. And I think that's one thing that really excited me on tape was he was making NFL throws within a pro-style offense. And while people will talk about the accuracy issues, I think that that was a little bit overblown. And again, that's something that can be worked on and schemed around, and nobody is going to put you in a better position to have easy looks and I don't want to say layups, but have easier reads than most NFL quarterbacks will, than Kyle Shanahan. So he seemed like the most natural thrower of the football between Jones, Lance, and himself. And that's one thing, or sorry, Jones, Fields, and himself, my apologies. That to me stands out big time. And I think that's where Kyle's like, he has the intelligence, he has the raw physical gifts, let me do my thing. And as much as he's betting on Trey Lance, Kyle Shanahan is betting on himself, and this will be his ultimate project. And maybe he ends up with that Steve Young, John Elway type of player, not comparing him to two Hall of Famers. Mm-hmm. He hasn't taken a snap in the NFL, but he grew up watching his dad have his greatest success with a player that had a lot of the same physical abilities that we've seen from Trey Lance.
Yeah. And that's the other point here. And before we move on, I just don't understand how people didn't see that. You know, Mike had Steve and Elway, you know, he took a flyer, but he liked Jay Cutler. He liked Jake Plummer. A lot of those guys move fairly well for their era. You know what I mean? So, of course, Mike Shanahan had an influence on this pick. He's going to be like, hey, do you remember the 49ers with Steve Young? And did you remember my Elway team? It's like, this is how you win. It's how you win then. It's how you're going to win now. It's a little bit better. You want a guy who's going to throw from the pocket, but if he has to, he will throw off platform, off schedule, make plays with his feet, and give you that extra, just get every yard possible that's out there. You know, a lot of times we watch Jimmy and the other guys just leave yards, leave big plays out on the field because either they didn't see it or they weren't able to move when they needed to move or when they were supposed to move. I'm excited for Trey Lance. Again, I was on the Fields train, and I have no issue saying I was wrong on my prediction, but I also feel my eval was pretty damn good with the whole situation, and Trey Lance and Justin Fields were absolutely the right pick had they chosen either one. But I'm in agreement with you. I think Trey Lance has the best, you know, throwing ability, best throwing motion, best natural thrower in the class. So I'm excited. Let's get to round two. I think this is the pick that took us a little bit all by surprise. A lot of us thought Creed Humphreys or an edge rusher. I know myself, I was really hoping for Joe Tryon, and he got picked at 32, which pissed me off. A lot of folks thought a corner. And they take Aaron Banks, Notre Dame guard, put him right next to Mike McGlinchey. And I think part of this is like, do you trust Brunskill? Do you trust McKivitz to improve? The answer is probably no. I think, I think Aaron Banks is going to be the day one starter here at the right guard position. What do you think?
I think he definitely has an opportunity. I think Brunskill and McKivitz definitely have an upper hand being in the system already. But we're really, and first of all, I'm with you. That pick took me completely by surprise. Did not see that coming whatsoever. Even if they went interior line, there was a couple other players that I was looking at that I expected them to probably take. And the first thing that stood out to me, because immediately upon that pick, I went and I dug through the film I had to go watch. Just a massive human being. He's 6'6", 330 pounds. And I think that what really stood out to me was the fact that when we've been scouting these guys and looking at who we think the 49ers might take, generally with these offensive linemen, the size hasn't really been the first thing you look for. It's for the agility, the footwork, and the ability to get outside of that outside zone. And what's really cool about Aaron Banks, from what I've seen, is that he has that ability to execute that outside zone. His feet are nimble. He maintains his base. But again, he's also this massive human being who looks like he's capable of mauling whoever is in front of him. I think the biggest thing that this signifies to me is that Kyle Shanahan is willing to adapt, and he's willing to, he knows how good he is and how good his system has been, but he's willing to take it to the next level. And I think he's also showing a propensity that he knows what he has in Trey Lance. And to me, a pick like that with Aaron Banks signifies that he's willing to get a guard that might not be the most agile on the outside. Again, he does have the agility, but he has the ability to also have that power role for the inside, the counter, the traps, a lot of this inside running game. So to me, that pick really signified that they were prioritizing physicality over agility, which is kind of a little off from what they've done the first few years of the Shanahan Lynch regime. It seemed like they really prioritized speed and agility first. And it seems like this year with all the picks they made today, honestly, that they really are prioritizing that toughness and physicality. And Kyle's really putting his offense out there in a way that he's going to continue to do what he does, but he's also going to adapt. And we're going to see new wrinkles to that really good offense that we've been spoiled enough to watch the last few seasons.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this goes back to, again, folks who thought he needed a smaller guard, again, pigeonholing him with certain types. He got what he wanted. And he said it, Aaron Banks, that's a large human being. And it's, you know, not typical what the Kyle Shanahan offense runs, but he brought it up in the press conference today. He's like, I don't have a type there either. You just have to be able to fit my scheme, and you have to be able to do a couple of things that I need you to do. And on tape, you see the outside zone movement. You see his steps. He has a really good first step to get to the outside zone. He finishes all his blocks. He's a mauler if for an outside zone offensive guard. And then you look, you know, you bring up the counters and the traps. I the first thing that came into my head was, okay, we're going to run a little bit more power game. We're going to run a little bit more inside zone. We're going to run some more traps, and I absolutely agree there. I really, really like this pick. But again, it took me by surprise. You know, I had the idea of Creed Humphreys. I thought they'd take a Ronnie Perkins here, you know, maybe a corner, whoever was available at that point, or maybe even a wide receiver. Kyle Shanahan had other ideas, and I think he's looking at the rest of the NFC West and looking at him like, okay, you guys got smaller on your defense. I'm going to get larger on my offensive line, get more physical. You know, that's a pretty big offensive line if you really go across it until you get to Mike McGlinchey, who needs to eat a little bit. But, you know, Trent Williams, large human. Lakin, pretty big human. Alex Mack, for his career, for a center, he's rather big. And now you bring in Aaron Banks. That's a pretty stout offensive line. And the rest of the NFC West, outside of Aaron Donald and Chandler Jones, doesn't concern me as far as pass rushers. So hopefully Trey or Jimmy can get just enough time to deliver the ball. And obviously the run game should work very well with both those guys, whoever the quarterback is. So this is a solid pick. Looking into it, there is a really unique stat on him. Aaron Banks allowed 2 sacks on 1,219 pass blocking snaps over his Notre Dame career. 2 sacks. Over 1,200 snaps and only allowed 2 sacks. That is insane to me, especially with some of the competition Notre Dame played in the last 2-3 years.
Yeah, and you know, the thing that stands out to me as well is the sack numbers are very impressive, and it's also the pressure numbers. Like last season, he gave up a pressure for every 46 pass blocking snaps that he was logging. That's an insane number, and I think that is something that really has been missing from the interior. If we go all the way back to the Super Bowl in 2019, one of the biggest areas of concern and weakness on that stacked roster that I truly believe was the best roster in football, and Kyle himself said that's what stung so much, the pass protection. And as we saw in the fourth quarter, Chris Jones single-handedly broke that Super Bowl open, in my opinion. And I thought he was the most valuable player on that field because he just dominated the interior, particularly in pass protection. And I think that Kyle, again, has shown a willingness to adapt. He's not going to be pigeonholed, as you said, into a specific mold at that guard spot. And being able to get a guy who not only is very stout in pass protection, but, you know, for what it's worth, I know a lot of people aren't fans of PFF grades, but I do think it tells a pretty good story because of the large sample size that accounts for. His pass blocking grade was 80.8 and his run blocking grade was 82.1. So to me, what that screams is balance. He's not going to be a guy that's going to be really strong in one area, but maybe lacking in the other. It's going to give you above average competence, pass blocking and run blocking. And then you factor in, it's this massive human being at 6'6", 330, and you're going to get him with this offensive staff, get him working with Chris Forster and that elite O-line unit that they already have in the building. And it makes me very excited because, again, it's a pick that took me by surprise. When you start thinking about the possibilities of getting a guy like that out in space blocking for a Trey Lance, a Raheem Mostert, a Trey Sermon now, getting out there in the open, pulling with Mike McGlinchey and opening up holes for Debo on a fly sweep, it really does invite a lot of excitement and optimism for this offense moving forward.
Absolutely. You know, you brought up the PFF stuff, offensive line versus pass rush. He was 67% win rate, you know, on those pass rushes. That's a really telling stat of who he is. he fits. He's just a really solid prospect here. Just going through some of the PFF stuff here, you know, 27 reps. Or I'm sorry, hold on. Here we go. Trying to pull up his numbers here from his pro day. Okay, 24 reps on the bench, 3 cone, 7.69, 40-yard dash, 5.32, short shuttle, 4.89, vertical jump, vertical leap was 31 inches, and then a 10-foot broad jump. So he's an athletic big guy. He's rather 6'5", 325. You know, he's just a large human being, and he fits all the agility skills. He played most of his time at left guard, 827 snaps in 2020 at left guard. Then he did play left tackle for 19 of those snaps based on what PFF had. You know, understands limitations, won't give up imposing defensive tackles, any space to work. He has really good hands. Just gets inside of guys really well too when he's blocking out there. Once the pick was in, I was at work and I was like, quick rant to my little all 22 on my phone. And I was like, wait a second, go to Notre Dame, open it up, and you can see it automatically. He has a really good first step with the outside zone stuff. He has really good hands to get inside and engage early, quickly. He shoots the hands very fast. I just got to see it. You know, it's one of those things. We all know what Kyle likes at his guard position. They're a little bit smaller. I just want to see how this works. And I'm just looking at what Kyle has built up based on everything that he's done. And John today, it looks like the identity of this team is shifting a little bit more physical, a little bit more aggressive, a lot more power might be coming in the 2021 season.
And that's something to get excited about. I think, again, it's something where I think Kyle is showing his ability to remain at the forefront of innovation and to remain a step ahead. Because one thing I think we can say that most of the NFC West now shares is that elite speed, especially particularly horizontally, if we're looking at all these teams on offense. And how on brand for Kyle Shanahan would it to be as the Rams and the Seahawks both have that kind of same McVay tree with Shane Waldron calling plays in Seattle now. You obviously have Cliff Kingsbury and his air raid background spreading out the field. They added one of my favorite players in the draft in Rondale Moore. We already know Kyler Murray's ability to spread the field. And then here you have Kyle Shanahan opting to take the bulldozing quarterback that can run over people and the big guard that can maul people. And he gets back, and Trey Sermon as well, which I'm sure we'll get to, a guy that can run through people. And it's just, it's another situation where it's, I think we're all guilty of getting used to seeing what Kyle likes to do and seeing him have success. Okay, well, hey, this is what he's going to do moving forward. And he's keeping us all guessing. And that's one of the funnest parts about being a 49ers fan during this era is that we really never know which way Kyle's going to go. But I do agree with you. It's kind of that punch you in the face attitude is kind of what I'm getting from these draft picks. This kind of, you know,
football-esque.
Exactly. That's exactly what it feels like. But with the finesse of a play caller like Kyle Shanahan added in on it. And that's what's really exciting.
If we get a combination of Harbaugh and Kyle Shanahan, that is something to get excited about. So let's talk about it. Trey Sermon, I know I'm generally not a fan of running backs this early. You're generally not a fan of running backs this early. However, both you and I agreed that if Javonte Williams was available at 43, we run to the podium and take that guy. However, he was taken. Way to go, Denver. We don't like you. But the Niners trade up from... They didn't trade up from 102, but they used both fourth round picks, 117 and 121, to get back into the third round and take Trey Sermon at pick 88. Trey Sermon, three cone. He didn't do the bench press because I think he's still recovering from the collarbone. Three cone, 6.83, 40 yard dash. He ran a 4.57, short shuttle, 4.28, vertical jump, 37 inches. And then the broad jump was 12.5. Trey Sermon, I'm a Big Ten guy. I absolutely loved Trey Sermon. I did watch him at OU. He did leave OU based on just a really crowded backfield. This, again, goes back to what we talked about with Aaron Banks. Physical, run-down-your-throat type of player. They're looking to maul people. And I'm excited about it. And it's talking through it with you now, having the mauler, and then you wear teams out with him. And then here comes Raheem Mostert with his 4.29 or whatever the hell he runs. and just start gashing teams. And I think Kyle has that same vision, like, okay, I'm going to use Mostert this last year before I do whatever I need to do next year with my running back room, but I'm going to use this kid Sermon as my early down back, and then third down when I need an explosive play, Mostert, go do that. You know what I mean? Does that make sense to you?
No, absolutely. And I think with Trey Sermon, what really excites me too is the guy has that big playability. And one thing that I love listening to Kyle Shanahan speak, because I try to decipher every word that comes out and look for little nuggets. One thing that's always stood out to me when he talks about the run game, he talks about how we're trying to hit home runs on every play. Mm-hmm. And I understand, ideally, you're going to want to score on every play you call whenever you play the sport of football. But there are a lot of offenses that are designed to pick up 3 yards here, 4 yards there, a short gain here. And that's the design of the play. Kyle's calling plays that are trying to, and that's why you see a lot of these outside zone runs they call. They might go for nothing and they might get stopped in the backfield, but the aim is to go for that home run play every time they're calling running plays. And with Trey Sermon, you get a guy. The games that really stood out to me was Northwestern, where he went absolutely crazy. He ran 29 times for 331 yards and 2 touchdowns for an average of 11.4 yards an attempt. He averaged 6 yards an attempt after carry, and he had 9 plays of 20-plus yards running the football. And then the following game was against Clemson in the college football playoff, and he ran the ball 31 times for 193, coming out to 6.2 yards an attempt, and he had 8 carries of over 10 yards. So you're getting this guy that's not only going to grind and wear you out physically with these 4, 5, 6 yard chunks, he also has the ability to hit these big explosive plays. And the biggest thing to me with Trey Sermon is that he has a nice blend of power and speed that we really have not seen since Kyle has been in San Francisco. I think mm-hmm. the closest to it would maybe be Jeff Wilson, but I think that Trey Sermon is a little bit more physically imposing. He's 6'2", 221. He looks a little bit bigger than that too. He's a very stout upper body.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The biggest thing for me too is he has tremendous balance. When you watch him working these inside gaps in particular, and he's breaking in and out of his cuts, his ability to maintain his balance and stay on his feet is extremely impressive. And I'll throw this out there too. Hey, Kyle Shanahan's missed on draft picks, John Lynch, Peters, all these guys, it happens. But if Kyle Shanahan in this front office is identifying a running back that they're going to give up multiple picks to go up and go grab, I have faith in them that they have a vision for how they're going to use this guy. And I'm totally with you. If you get a little bit of thunder with Sermon and then lightning with Mostert, it's going to be extremely fun. And then you add in the fact that Trey Lance can run the ball too.
Yeah.
It's going to be a nightmare for opposing defenses.
I mean, you can look at the, you know, a split backfield with Sermon and Mostert, and then here's Trey Lance in there. You know, you Arizona with Isaiah Simmons and Xavier Collins are like, okay, what do we do? You know, you're going to freeze a lot of people and get a lot of looks to George Kittle. You know, a lot of stuff to Deebo Samuel, a lot of stuff to Brandon Ayuk. I think Kyle has probably got the biggest football boner of his life right now with Mostert and Sermon. Real quick with Sermon, though, 116 attempts, 870 yards, average 7.5 per carry. The thing I think was that's not spoken about enough with him, he has pretty good hands. Like, he's a fairly good pass catcher, and this adds another element to the Kyle Shanahan offense, you know, the positionless football. You know, I don't suspect he'll line up in any type of slot position, but if you need to run that choice route that the 49ers love to run with their running backs, he will be able to work that play. I also thought he's a fairly good pass blocker. You know, he did protect Justin Fields quite a bit this past season. So those things are also, you know, those things are also just very valuable. And I kind of view him as a Kareem Hunt for this offense. I don't know if that's a fair comparison, but just watching him over the past season, to me, what stood out was, hey, that's Kareem Hunt. That's a Kareem Hunt type. And I think if you're looking at the best minds in football, Andy Reid went after a guy similar to Trey Sermon. So, and that guy was Kareem Hunt. Now, hopefully Sermon doesn't have any off the field stuff like Kareem, you know, but as a player, I think Sermon does fit that mold.
And I think that's a fantastic comparison, truthfully, because what I do, I agree with you 100%. And right when you said that, I'm like, it's like a light bulb went off, because it's exactly what you see with Kareem Hunt. Was a guy who came in and was electric immediately because he was fast. He had the speed to get out in space, but he also had this physicality to him that he was no slouch going down. And again, I think the Niners over recent years, Raheem Mostert's a guy that's tailored more towards agility than power. Matt Breida was obviously that way. Coleman was that way. Hasty for the carries he was getting last year was that way. And this is the first back I think they really have that's going to strike fear into opposing defenses, where if you're giving him 15 to 20 carries a game as the fourth quarter rolls along and you're sitting there bleeding clock, hopefully with the lead, you know, the way the Niners were winning a lot of games in 2019, it's going to be a lot harder for defenses having to get up play after play and bring down a guy like Trey Sermon, especially when you consider the fact that you take one step in the wrong direction and Trey Lance is tucking that ball out of Trey Sermon's belly and he's running the opposite way for a big game.
Yeah.
So it really gives them an added dynamic they have not had and a talent that they really haven't had. And I agree with you 100% too, a very underrated receiver. And I think that there hasn't been a pass blocking running back that really fits that physical mold. They've been adequate. I don't think there's been an issue at all where it's, you know, this is such a glaring need that these guys have been playing so poorly, but there hasn't been a guy that really is this just going to stand up to a guy like a Zaven Collins, who's going to be blitzing a lot for Arizona, probably playing that Hassan Reddick role. I'd feel much better about Trey Sermon in that spot than I would a Raheem Mostert or a Jeff Wilson at this point.
Yeah, absolutely agree there. I lost my train of thought, but I was going to say something really good and it just left my mind. But yeah, I lost it. It's all right. Whatever. We'll move on. it'll come back to me. The other pick here, Ambry Thomas, cornerback out of Michigan. This is a guy that I didn't watch enough of because I thought he would be a guy that's taken between 85 and 90. I didn't expect him to fall, but I guess the reports were true about guys who opted out. They may have fallen. Michigan's defensive backfield fell apart in 2020 without Ambry Thomas. They were much better in 2019. What I like about Ambry was speed, really good arm length. Again, physical player. And you're not asking him to start right away, so he's going to need some development. So he, you know, if Jason Verrett isn't here next year, maybe he fills in for Jason Verrett. Maybe he develops into a good CB2. There's a lot to like with Ambry Thomas. What did you see when you turned on the tape?
I saw a guy that was going to come in, and this is, again, where we talked about how Kyle is willing to change his philosophy on offense. I think with D'Amico Ryans coming in and replacing Robert Saleh, they're doing the same thing on defense, because traditionally, what have we seen the 49ers target when they are taking corners? They've wanted those long guys with length that can play that cover three, sit there in that single high shell and have the length to play that scheme that they kind of formed their own wrinkle of from that old Seattle cover three scheme. And when you look at Ambry Thomas, he does not seem like a guy that would come from that traditional mold. He's still got good size. He's 6 foot, but it's not one of those guys that's 6'2", 6'3", like Akello Witherspoon. He's kind of his own mold that's closer to a Jason Verrett almost. And I'm wondering if they saw the success that they had with Jason Verrett, a guy that was a little bit smaller, but had that press man ability.
Yeah.
Because when I watch Ambry Thomas, that's the main thing I take away from him, is that this guy is tremendous when he's playing man coverage. I believe he's capable of playing zone, and I think it'll be a little bit of an adjustment, but I think the Niners are tailoring that defense a little bit more towards being friendly to running that press man versus sitting back in zone, which they've been traditionally since Kyle came over. I think the big thing that stands out to me is he opted out of the 2020 season, just like you mentioned, but in 2019, he was targeted 47 times and he only gave up 25 receptions. If you're allowing a reception rate of 53.2 at the collegiate level, to me, that is an elite number with the way that they get guys out in space, particularly with the spread offenses you're going up against in the Big Ten on the regular. So I am excited. I think it's also another thing I would add too. He did return punts and kicks and he runs a 4.37 40. So I think that's another added element where you get a guy that might be a little bit more electric returning punts, returning kicks. You put him in a position where you have Mosley, you have Verrett, you have Kwan locked into this year. So you're not in a position where you have to throw Ambry into the fire and he's starting week one and you're ending up in a situation like we saw in Miami, unfortunately, when there was a corner that was put out there a little bit too early and they ultimately were left out to dry. I don't think that that's a situation they're going to have to face this year, barring injury, but it leaves them in a great spot. Just like you said, he reminds me a lot of Jason Verrett. And if Jason Verrett comes out and balls and has as good of a year as he had this past season, I think it leaves them a great contingency plan and an extremely valuable bargaining chip at the negotiation table, to where if Jason Verrett prices himself out of their future plans, they have a guy that they can potentially slide in and feel great about on a rookie deal. And again, the biggest thing, I'll come back to it real quick. I think D'Amico Ryans is his own man. He is going to run a lot of things. I'm sure he learned from Robert Saleh, found success with in the same scheme, but I think he's going to run a lot more press man. I think they're going to get a lot more aggressive. I think they're going to blitz a lot more. And I think targeting guys like that signals that there will be a little bit of a shift in philosophy from what we've been used to seeing from them.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can kind of confirm that with somehow some of the players have spoken, you know, whether that be their IG stories or their IG lives where they, you know, people ask them about, what do you think D'Amico is going to bring? And a lot of them bring up the blitzing and man coverage. So this would fit that discussion with Ambry Thomas. You brought it up, coverage grade of 80.8 in 2019, 672 snaps in coverage, or 672 snaps total, 333 coverage snaps, and then only allowing 25 receptions on 47 targets for 332 yards, one touchdown, three interceptions. And when passers targeted him, those passer ratings were 56.3. So you're getting a guy who's going to develop, I believe, nicely. And I think you hit it on the head here with a Jason Verrett type of comp. Really good press man skills, really good feet. You know, it's with Thomas. Let's see here. I'm looking at his numbers. 15 reps on the bench, 4.3 40-yard dash, 38-inch vertical, and then 12.2 vertical jump. So he does have some really elite agility traits. 555 snaps at corner, 43 at slot, and then he did blitz several times during his time at Michigan. PFF does a really good job with their draft guide, by the way, if anyone doesn't know that. So he's done a really good job there. So, you know, out of the four picks today, or in the last 2 days, Lance, just real quick recap, Trey Lance, quarterback out of North Dakota State, offensive guard Aaron Banks, Notre Dame, so another Gold Domer, Trey Sermon, Ohio State running back, and then Ambry Thomas, corner out of Michigan. This might be the first time that I think the Niners may have hit on all four picks. I've never been more excited about. I feel like this draft feels like a Chris Ballard draft, if that makes any type of sense. Very smart, very decisive on what they're trying to do. They're creating a different identity for this team, you know, and you're watching the evolution of Kyle Shanahan right in front of you. And you're seeing the evolution of the defense with this cornerback pick. And I would actually bring, you know, go back to the Samson Ebukam free agency signing. You know, you're getting more coverage and pass, you know, a pass rusher with Ebukam there too. So you're starting to see a little bit of a transition on both sides of the ball. You know, this is something we brought up on the podcast several times. You know, the roster was turning over so much that you can do these things. You have a new defensive coordinator. You're going to have an OC by default with McDaniels. There's some shifting in the thinking, and I think Kyle Shanahan is evolving. This team as a whole is evolving. I think they're building this team in the image of Kyle Shanahan and what they want to do with this positionless type of football, where you have guys like Ebukam who can play linebacker, who can play defensive end, who can rush the passer, who can drop into coverage. You got guys like Ambry Thomas, Jason Verrett, Emmanuel Mosley, K'Wan Williams, they all can play multiple positions on these in the secondary. The Trey Sermon pick today, again, pass catcher, run blocker, power run, inside zone, whatever you want to do, you got it there. And then Trey Lance automatically gives you this really nice dynamic as a passer and a runner. And then, of course, you know, we have a very stout offensive line that can do both. If they want to run power, they'll run power. If they want to run outside zone, they'll run outside zone. So I think you're seeing a really solid evolution of this team. What do you, am I off on any of this, or am I just kind of might be a little bit too homerish? Cause I feel like every pick they made a lot of sense.
Yeah. And that's where I'll agree with you, because it's so hard to predict. And I'm not going to lie, every draft they have, I find the positive things about the players that you can find. Cause there's almost every player who's going to get drafted is going to have some kind of positive tape. But I am with you where this year it felt like there was a very specific direction they were going in. One thing that I love, a philosophy I love talking about, is positional versatility. Where you have guys who can line up all over the place. You know, I know you were a big fan of guys like Divine Diablo. I was a big Elijah Molden guy, guys that you could kind of move all over the place. Mm-hmm. And what I'm thinking about now, as you were talking, is it seems like the 49ers, they took it a step further. They didn't go for positional versatility. They went for entire scheme versatility, where you could go out and you could come out one week. You have a team that struggles against a power front. You come out and you pound the ball 45 times. You're going to run the ball down their throat. The next week, you have a team that's a little bit more stout in the middle. You're going to be able to come out and throw more. And then vice versa on defense, you have the ability to go out there and play press man one week. And then the next week, if you have a quarterback or an offense that struggles against zone coverage, you have an entire team that can fit that versatile mold rather than just a bunch of guys that can do different things. Your entire scheme is so fluid and flexible that you're going to be able to kind of adapt to whoever you're playing in a given week. And I think that that is something to be extremely excited about. That again, just like you said, they have a specific vision, I think, but it also, when you have a guy like Kyle Shanahan, you have a football mind like that at your disposal, giving him every avenue possible to get creative and innovate and create new ways to succeed on a football field, you're going to want to maximize that as much as possible, because it's very easy to get caught into a loop where, hey, we've had success with this. There's a long history of success in the NFL with players that do this, this, and this. And instead of sticking to that traditional mold and forging your own path by breaking off a little bit and saying, hey, I've had really a lot of success with this outside zone scheme, let's take a bigger guard and a quarterback that can run and see what I could do pounding the rock inside a little bit more. Let's see what we could do dialing up some of these RPOs and some of these spread concepts that they're finding success with at the college level. Let me tweak it a little bit and carry that into my NFL scheme, my more pro style scheme. And it just gets me to a point where, again, I'm very excited because there's so many ranges of outcomes that I could see with this draft class, but it doesn't seem like they've reached for anybody. And it doesn't seem like they took picks at positions that were redundant. And that to me is the biggest thing, where it's very easy to fall victim to sticking to your board and taking a player at a position that may not be a need, or you already have a bunch of players there. You could argue that with the running back position, but there's not anybody signed beyond this season. So Trey Sermon is a pick for the future as much as it is for now. But yeah, I'm with you. It seems like there's a very coordinated effort to have a direction that they want to move, but that direction isn't a pigeonholed set in stone thing. It's giving them the creativity and flexibility to go and zig and zag depending on what they're facing in a given week.
Yeah. And the evolution of Kyle, this is hashtag Kyle, the evolution of Kyle. And I'm, you know, that's one thing, everyone who listens to the show, I absolutely love Kyle Shanahan. Does he frustrate me sometimes? Absolutely. But as a play caller, and, you know, I've never felt more comfortable with a head coach since Steve Mariucci, since Steve. And I think Steve was building a really good roster before those guys kind of aged themselves out and priced themselves out for the 49ers during that time. You know, one more day of the draft, four more rounds. What is left for the Niners to do, Jordan? What do you think? What do you think they do next? What seems to be most important? Because there's still some talent available in the fourth round, I think. And I think the Niners may try to get back in there.
So to me, they addressed corner. They got that out of the way today. I thought corner, O-line, wide receiver, and tight end were the positions that really needed to be addressed. They obviously addressed the interior O-line with Aaron Banks. They addressed corner with Ambry Thomas. So to me, wide receiver becomes the main one, because while I really do believe that Ayuk and Debo are studs, it would be nice to have an added element as a third threat at that receiver position. I like Mohamed Sanu. I really hope Jalen Hurd can be healthy, but I want a guy that's going to be dynamic, that can come in on that rookie deal and grow with a rookie like Trey Lance. Get him a guy that's a deep threat, ultimately, is the point I'm trying to make, is get a guy that's fast, that's going to be cheap, that you can really not put too much pressure on and isn't going to be expected. It's different than taking a guy like Ayuk in the first round. The guys that I would look at are Jalen Darden, Daz Newsome. I know you're a big Daz Newsome fan as well. I think receiver ultimately is the pick that needs to get made, because I just don't feel comfortable counting on Jalen Hurd at this point. And it's no disrespect to him. It's just he's unfortunately been hurt the last couple seasons. I think it's unrealistic to expect that here Mohamed Sanu would consistently be a viable third option. I really liked Brevin Jordan out of Miami. I thought that he would be more of a big slot guy, less of a traditional tight end, but more of a big slot guy that could kind of play that tight end two role and complement Kittle very well. I don't think there's any chance he's still there in the 150s when they pick again tomorrow. So they would have to move up. But to me, those are the two biggest positions. It's going to be tight end or receiver in whichever order you like. but they need to add another dynamic pass catching threat is ultimately my point. And whether that is a tight end, whether that is a receiver, whatever they feel would benefit the vision that they have for this offense going forward, that's where I would lean. And it would be nice to see them add a deep threat, because while I do believe that Brandon Ayuk is capable of being a guy that could take the top off a defense, getting a pure speed guy would be very intriguing too. I know Marquez Stevenson is a guy a lot of people like out of Houston. He's very fast. Was he at the Senior Bowl? I forget if he was.
Yeah, he was at the Senior Bowl. He was okay. He wasn't super impressive, but that's why you're picking him in the fourth or fifth round. So yeah.
So somebody like that you would just bank on purely for speed, just to take the top off a defense. If Tutu Atwell didn't get taken, I thought Tutu Atwell was a huge reach by the Rams, but if he was still around, he's a guy I would have liked. Daz Newsome is honestly the guy for me that I'm not expecting them to take any of the players. That's how you get heartbroken every year when you get set on them taking a player. But if they were to take Daz Newsome somewhere in that 150 range, I'd be ecstatic. I think he could come in and be a perfect complement in the slot to what they're already doing. He could return kicks as well. He has that burner speed to take the top off of defense. But yeah, that's the biggest thing for me. And maybe edge depth. There's a couple guys I like that they could take an edge spot. Another guy I would point out that I think they definitely have some interest in is Darius Stills, the defensive tackle out of West Virginia. If they want to add more beef to that D-line, I think he's the guy to watch out for. But they can't really go anywhere that's going to upset me at this point, Avi. That's the best thing. They've done such a good job addressing depth through free agency. And I think signings like Maurice Hurst and Zach Kerr and Arden Key, like a lot of these get swept under the rug a little bit, but it really puts them in a great position now where they're not stuck. Like, we really like this player, but man, we have a really big hole on the roster at this position or that position, so we can't take the guy we want. So it'd be really hard for them to upset me day three, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. A couple guys that I liked, for tomorrow, Cam Sample out of Tulane, I think is a really nice piece. Speed rusher, he can work inside and outside on the defensive line. Shaka Toney is still there. I think if you're going to take a guy in the fifth round and you need a project, that is a guy who's going to need some work. I think Shaka has one of the better pass rush moves, but he's such a tweener. You can take that risk with somebody like that at 155. You're not expecting him to play 70% of the snaps. You're expecting him to, take up 20% of the snaps, third down here or there, a situation where you need to have a rotation in there. William Bradley King, guy who doesn't get talked about enough out of Baylor, I thought was really good. And then on offense, Kay Johnson out of North Dakota State is a guy I really liked. And then, you brought up a burner, the kid from Illinois. I know we haven't had success with wide receivers out of Illinois. Josh, really long last name. I'm not going to mispronounce his last name. But the wide receiver out of Illinois, I think he's the one who ran the 4.3. Or whatever it was, he was a just absolute burner. But he's a guy who's going to require some development. You're looking to replace, as much shit as Kendrick Bourne takes for some of the drop passes and, the dancing or whatever, you're going to need to replace his production. And he had a role on this team. He had some really good third down receptions. He had some really key touchdowns on this team. You're going to have to find a guy who can give you those 36 catches for 400 yards and two touchdowns. Like, you need that guy to come in somewhere. And you can get him in this, fourth or fifth round. I do like Simi Fioco out of Stanford. And then Cornell Powell, also another one. And then I'm with you on the defensive tackles thing. I do like Stills out of West Virginia. And I do like, I don't know why Marvin Wilson is falling so far, but I would definitely be interested in him. With one of our fifth round picks, because we're picking 155. So what's left is 155, 172, 180, and 194, which is kind of good because I really didn't want to watch the seventh round. So I don't have to do that. But I think the Niners have done a fairly good job with free agency and then this draft so far. I really don't have any complaints, with how they're doing this. We talked about it just a second ago. Everything seemed like a scheme versatile decision, with what they did. So I'm all in on this draft. It's been a much better draft. Last year's draft did not excite me after the IU pick. And then the one the year before, obviously with Bosa, Debo, and Greenlaw, was actually a really good one. But I think the Niners have gotten themselves four contributors already. I thought they needed to come out with five. If they can find one more contributor in the next four picks, this is a win for Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch.
I would throw out there too, one thing I forgot to mention earlier was the Ambry Thomas pick was a Adam Peters hand selected pick. And I think that we, as Niners fans, know the success rate and the track record of Adam Peters, and it speaks for itself. So that's another pick that did get me excited, knowing that Adam Peters was the guy pounding the table for Ambry Thomas.
Well, I guess we know that one's going to pan out because he has a really, you know, I think Fred Warner was his guy, Kittle was his guy. So that's two. And Greenlaw. So, yeah. All right, cool. I think we got one.
I'm not saying they need to get the Hall of Fame bust ready, but they might want to be on standby is all I'm saying.
Might as well. We got to keep that guy around here much longer. We have one more day of the draft. I think to give the 49ers a grade so far, I would give them a B. It's not, you know, just on the first 2 days, I don't think they missed. I don't think they reached. I don't think they did anything crazy. I just think they got the guys they wanted. They got the guys that are scheme specific and scheme versatile. And Kyle Shanahan is evolving right in front of our eyes. And everyone ignored it except for guys like you and I, Jordan. And I'm excited for how the rest of this plays out. I want to thank you for coming on. Thank you for helping me out tonight. Shout out to my guy, Fernando. He's in Omaha with his daughter. He is a volleyball coach, and he's I think they're doing fairly well with their tournament. Hopefully I will hear from him tomorrow. He has been busy coaching all day. So safe travels to Fernando. He'll probably listen tomorrow and curse me out because he missed most of the draft because he wanted to watch it. But Jordan, man, thanks again for coming on, man. I appreciate you. Let the people know where they can find you, all your work, everything else that you're doing.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for having me on, Javier. It's always a blast talking with you. It's an honor to come on the pod. You can find me on Twitter @splash_cousin. I'm not as active as much on Instagram. I'm trying to get that going a little bit, but you can find me @Jordan49GM. GM, of course, standing for Goldmine. Definitely want to go check out 49ersGoldmine.com. There's great content, great stuff coming out. And I know there's going to be a lot of really good stuff coming out post-draft, articles, player breakdowns, film breakdowns. So yeah, that's the only thing I got to plug is Goldmine. You know, you already know what the deal is.
Absolutely. And yeah, make sure you follow everything on Twitter at Javier Vague _. Follow my guy Fernando @DZ0880. And then again, make sure you guys follow Jordan and the 49ers Goldmine crew. So if you have Apple, Apple subscriber review is always warrant, you know, always wanted and appreciated. Stay tuned. We do have some other giveaways coming up, and I do have hopefully some Trey Lance merch that we will be creating and bringing out as well. So be on the lookout for that. Most of you guys know we've done a pretty good job with the t-shirts and hats and everything else we've put out. So we will take care of you guys with all that stuff. And we will figure out a way to donate some of the proceeds to people in need as well. So just be on the lookout for that. But until the end of the draft, you'll hear from me back on Monday when Fernando is back. I thank you guys for tuning in, and happy draft miss. Peace.